But if you close your eyes. Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to This Week Again. I'm your host, Suzanne Posel. We're going to start off this show with why Christians lost their minds on Easter. Move on to Israel's use of precision-guided missiles on the World Central Kitchen. And follow all of that up with an update to our ongoing docuseries, Why Russia Keeps Financing Trump's Failing Businesses. Let's begin, shall we? Last Sunday was March 31st. Last Sunday was also International Trans Day of Visibility, as of 2009 when the group Trans Student Educational Resources declared it so. Did you notice I didn't say President Biden declared March 31st International Trans Day of Visibility? That's because neither Biden nor any other U.S. president had anything to do with designating March 31st for the trans community. But who cares about facts when you're maggot?
President Joe Biden is facing criticism this morning from Donald Trump's campaign and religious conservatives for proclaiming March 31st, which corresponds with Easter Sunday this year, as Transgender Day of Visibility. Trump's campaign accusing Biden, a Roman Catholic, of being insensitive to religion, and fellow Republicans piled on. They say, quote, "We call on Joe Biden's failing campaign and White House to issue an apology to the millions of Catholics and Christians across America who believe tomorrow is one for celebration only, the resurrection of Jesus Christ."
And what the hell was Biden thinking when he declared Easter Sunday to be Trans Visibility Day? November 5th is going to be called something else. You know what it's going to be called? Christian Visibility Day, when Christians turn out in numbers that nobody has ever seen before. Let's call it Christian Visibility Day, all right?
Oh, the pearls these Kevins and Karens of Christianity clutched when they heard their zombie Jesus celebration would have to share the day with the trans community. And the complaints they filed on social media and their right-wing outlets were so overwhelming, the White House press secretary had to have a reality check with a Fox Not a News Channel reporter during a presser.
Every year for the past several years, on March 31st, Transgender Day of Visibility is marked. And as we know, for folks who understand the calendar and how it works, Easter falls on different Sundays, right? Every year. And this year, it happened to coincide with Transgender Visibility Day. And so that is the simple fact. That is what has happened. That is where we are. And I do want to say a couple of things, because I think it's important here. As you just stated in your questions, what we've been hearing out there, a lot of misinformation done on purpose. And as a Christian who celebrates Easter with family, President Biden stands for bringing people together and upholding the dignity and freedoms of every American.
Well, good for you, Joe. I want to go back to Corrine's comment, however, on why Easter falls on a different Sunday every single year, because this fact speaks to how disingenuous maggots and Republicans actually are. Because this whole Easter moving around every year has got to be confusing, especially this day, which is supposed to be commemorating the day that their son of a god rose from the dead, right? Shouldn't that be on the same day every year? Instead of course, being held after the first Sunday, after the first equinox, and after a full moon? I mean, what in the pagan ritual appropriation bullshit is Easter if Jesus didn't die and rise on the same day every single year? And for those of you in the back, my mother died on August 5th, 2015, which was a Wednesday that particular year. But you don't see me honoring her death day on the first Wednesday after a Gaelic festival of Lammas, yes, that is a real pagan holiday, and a full moon. Because that would be ludicrous. My mother died on August 5th, no matter what day it currently falls on, and regardless of whatever the moon is doing, because she died on the day that she died. So Christians, maybe you should figure out when your son of a god actually died and became a zombie. and do all of your still very pagan rituals on that day, instead of getting upset because someone else wants to use March 31st for a celebration that falls on the same day every single year. And while we're waiting for logic to penetrate the minds of the faithful, let's move on to, ironically, the Middle East and a little patch of appropriated land we like to call Israel. It's been 5 months since Netanyahu declared genocide on the Palestinian people for the actions of a terrorist group known as Hamas. And now, with an estimated 30,000 Palestinians, mostly women and children, dead, thanks to the IDF bombing the shit out of them, why stop there?
This morning, seven aid workers, including a dual U.S.-Canadian citizen, killed while delivering desperately needed aid in northern Gaza. In the aftermath of the Israeli airstrike on their vehicle, gruesome video showing the bodies of some of the victims, which include Polish, British, Australian and Palestinian citizens.
The organization says a strike hit their convoy in central Gaza yesterday. It happened hours after they delivered more than 100 tons of food to Gaza, which is facing one of the worst humanitarian crises in the world.
World Central Kitchen has been cooperating with Israel's military, which sent its condolences and is investigating what happened.
The strike was not carried out with the intention of harming WCK aid workers. It was a mistake that followed a misidentification at night during a war in a very complex conditions.
Oh, well, I guess that explains why Israeli forces sent precision-guided missiles directly to the convoy, because it was a mistake. Apparently, oopsies is a valid excuse for inputting the coordinates of the World Central Kitchen's convoy and then shooting the bombs directly where they said they would be. But hey, don't believe me. Here is a timeline of the Israeli attack on the humanitarian workers.
On April 1st, seven World Central Kitchen aid workers were leaving a warehouse in Deir al-Balah in central Gaza, according to a statement made by the charity. Before leaving the warehouse, the group said they had pre-arranged their route with Israel's military. World Central Kitchen workers were riding in a convoy of three vehicles, two armored cars branded with the group's logo, and a soft-skin vehicle. And the charity says they were hit as they were leaving the warehouse. The convoy appeared to be traveling south along a key route for humanitarian aid. The vehicles were photographed in three different locations, suggesting the convoy may have been hit three separate times. A second armored vehicle was photographed about half a mile south of the first one. There's a gaping hole in its roof, which appears to have been clearly marked with World Central Kitchen's logo. The third vehicle is found another mile to the south. Scattered on the ground, a pile of orange vests bearing the aid group's name.
But yeah, tell me again how it was nighttime and Israel can't see very well in the dark, so how could they have known the World Central Kitchen convoy would be where they told the IDF they would be, down to the date and time? And by the way, the founder of the World Central Kitchen, Chef Jose Andreas, also has eyes, just like you, just like me, and says this was obviously a deliberate attack on humanitarian workers who are trying to keep Palestinians from starving to death.
Our teams were targeted systematically, car by car. This happened over more than 1.5, 1.8 kilometers. So this was not a situation where, oops, we dropped the bomb in the wrong place or no. It was really a direct attack on a clearly marked vehicles whose movements were known. We were in a deconflicted zone. We were in an area that was highly controlled by IDF. Israel has and had all the right to defend their people. But defending your people is not killing everybody else around. Everybody understands that food is a universal right, that food is not a weapon of war. Food should never be a weapon.
And to elaborate, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that, wait a minute. Rocket scientists know that precision-guided missiles use sensors in the bomb's nose-lock system to follow a laser beam that happens to be pointed directly at the intended target. That's why even in the dark, Israel hit not one, not two, but three trucks with perfect accuracy. because Israel knew where and when the World Central Kitchen would be heading to the Palestinians with food and didn't want humanitarians getting in the way of their starvation strategy. And I know Israel conducted their investigation into themselves, and hey, wouldn't you know it?
The IDF releasing its report on what exactly happened. The investigation's findings indicate those who approved the strike were convinced that they were targeting armed Hamas operatives and not World Central Kitchen employees due to a mistaken identification.
Mistakenly assumed two Hamas gunmen were in the vehicles in the aid convoy.
The IDF spotted a gunman getting on aid trucks, and then the IDF says they saw another gunman, again, a single. So we're talking about two gunmen they're saying they see get on the aid truck or aid truck.
I don't know about you guys, but this shit's getting real old. Israel does not get to scream Hamas every time they want to justify murdering people. If that's the case, and they're seeing Hamas everywhere they go, then obviously they need psychiatric help, like immediately. And someone should probably make sure everyone at the IDF is far, far away from any weapon like yesterday. Because this is the same bullshit excuse that they used to level hospitals and street markets on the Gaza Strip because Hamas might be hiding in tunnels underneath. They blew up apartment complexes, restaurants, any fucking street corner that was still standing because Hamas is there, everywhere. Above, below, behind you. Israel saw them. And at this point, it's beyond revolting the way politicians, presidents, and world leaders just look the other way while saying that this is a travesty. Nearly 14,000 Palestinian children have been systematically wiped off this planet, and all they have is thoughts and prayers. And yeah, President Biden has sternly told the nutjob with a BB to stop killing Palestinians and the more than 220 humanitarian aid workers the IDF has murdered along the way. But obviously, Genocide BB needs more than a lecture to get him to stop, which is why the protest vote is coming to the 2024 presidential elections.
In the key battleground of Wisconsin, more than 47,000 Democratic voters cast a ballot for uninstructed as part of the movement to protest the president's handling of the war in Gaza. Organizers doubled their goal of 20,000 votes, which represented Biden's margin of victory over Trump in that state 4 years ago.
It's primary day in New York State, and thousands of registered Democrats are believed to have left their ballots blank in protest of President Biden's handling of the Israel-Hamas war. This protest vote movement began in Michigan this year, with more than 100,000 Democratic voters checking the uncommitted box instead of voting for Biden. New York State doesn't allow uncommitted votes in the primary, nor write-in options. So a campaign encouraging voters to submit blank ballots gains traction.
That's right, kiddies. In an election year where the fate of democracy hangs in the balance, American voters are threatening to choose to leave a blank space on their ballots, just like they did in several states during the primaries. Because it turns out that when 55% of Americans think Israel is being a genocidal maniac, they don't feel much like reelecting the guy who's sending taxpayer-funded aid and weapons to the genociders. Who knew that that wouldn't be a popular concept in a country that heralds Jesus and guns as all you need? And with that, let's move on to the $175 million bond the world's first broke-ass billionaire was supposed to pay last Thursday, which he did, sort of.
Former President Donald Trump has secured a $175 million bond in his New York civil fraud case. Trump secured the bond through Knight Specialty Insurance Company.
Posting the bond guarantees that Trump can pay at least a portion of a civil fraud judgment. Trump was able to secure that bond through a Los Angeles-based surety, Knight Specialty Insurance Company.
This is a company that's part of a group of companies owned by Don Hanke, who's another billionaire. He's worth about $7.5 billion. Interestingly, Don Hanke is also the largest individual shareholder, or was for several years, in Axos Financial, which provided two key loans for Trump against Trump Tower and his golf resort Doral down in Miami.
You know, I find it peculiar that it wasn't until after a week's worth of hilarious speculation about Donnie Don't Got Two Pennies' fake billionaire status that Mr. Hanke came out of the toilet just long enough to pay the fraud father's bond. But folks, it gets even funnier because Knight Specialty Insurance doesn't have shit. And when I say doesn't have shit, I mean their capital is a problem for at least New York Attorney General Letitia James.
The New York Attorney General has filed notice questioning essentially the financial strength of the company that posted his bond and whether it can cover the cost.
Knight Specialty Insurance Company filed a corrected version of the bond that attached, among other things, its financial statements and showed what its assets were as of the end of last year. That's December 31st, 2023. It has over $537 million in assets. And what the Attorney General's office is saying, the cash it has on hand is less than the bond. And they need to know because specifically this company is not admitted under New York's Department of Financial Service. It's not a New York insurer. And because it doesn't have qualifications in New York State, they are entitled to ask for what's called justification of the surety.
In other words, not only isn't Knight Specialty Insurance licensed to do business in the state of New York as a bond company, they're basically the dollar store of bond companies, and New York State requires bond companies to have at least 90% of the bond amount on hand, which obviously they don't have, since this company admitted their net worth is about $500 million and change. So rightfully so, Letitia wants to know where the cash came from for the bond, because it certainly wasn't hanging out with Mr. Hanke in the bathroom behind some classified documents. But there's also the issue of Fatty Krueger's Twitter knockoff website, unironically named Truth Social. We need to talk about it, because it never fails. When it comes to the former oaf of office, all roads lead back to Russia. So for exposition purposes, Barely Truth Social was brought to you by Trump Media. This is the brainchild of two former Apprentice contestants who are currently suing Donnie Kahn for bringing, quote, no intrinsic value to the company. Oh, and Cheeto Von Clownstick is trying to sue them and pushing them out of the measly 8% in stock value that they were initially promised in writing because it's allegedly worth $600 million. But then this happened.
Trump's media stock is down 18%. It has been dropping throughout the morning. This comes after the company that owns Truth Social posted financial numbers this morning.
Truth Social owner Trump Media lost $58 million last year, and it generated very, very little revenue, just $4.1 million in revenue. Monthly active U.S. users on iOS and Android down 51% year over year.
The stock, which is listed as DJT, lost roughly $4 billion in value in its first week of trading.
The company's stock fell more than 20%, and Donald Trump's net worth fell more than $1 billion.
I think all of this just underscores why there's a lot of warnings out there about this stock, right? One professor told me it's a bubble. Another basically called it a meme stock.
Yeah, it doesn't take Miss Cleo to see that this was going to be anything other than a complete disaster and a grift. What else do you call the sequel to the GameStop stock debacle, except this time the comb-over con artist lied about his company's net worth so he could go public and grift investors for cash because apparently selling Bibles isn't the lucrative career choice that he thought it was going to be. This whole thing is giving Ponzi scheme vibes, and that is bad enough. But when it comes to Donnie Two Scoops, there is always more. Because if you thought getting a high-risk auto loan company to front $175 million that they don't have to keep old drinks with two hands out of orange jumpers was Lulu, Wait until you hear the story about how a very specific Russian oligarch that is near and dear to Putin's heart, that's three sizes too small, by the way, helped launder rubles until they were dollars that somehow found their way into the tiniest hands this side of Bedminster.
The company was previously kept afloat in 2022 by emergency loans, in part from a Russian-American businessman under scrutiny in a federal insider trading and money laundering investigation.
A Russian-American guy called Anton Postonikov. He owns this bank in Dominica, this Caribbean island that's most well known for servicing the porn industry. Postonikov also controls the ES Family Trust account. And this is this very shadowy trust which has an account at his own bank and is coincidentally the vehicle used to funnel $8 million to Trump Media in late 2021 and 2022. At that time, Trump Media was facing this big cash crunch. They couldn't get lenders to lend any money to them. And when you trace it all back, it goes back to this Russian-American guy who is friends with none other than Michael Schwartzman, who was indicted on money laundering charges last month in a superseding indictment and today changed his not guilty plea to guilty. He is the nephew of a guy called Alexander Smirnov.
Alexander Smirnov, you don't say. I remember tell of an Alexander Smirnov who was recently arrested by the FBI because he lied about President Biden taking $5 million in bribes, information he got from the Kremlin that he spread into the MAGA Republicans, which gives James Comer a reason to get up in the morning. And hey, would that be the same guy? Because with all the connections the Commander-in-Chief has with Mother Russia, any person would probably think they're sponsoring the overbronzed gourd by now. And that's all I have to say about that. New episodes of This Week Again air every Sunday. Oh, and don't forget, Sundays at 6 p.m. Ohio time, you can re-listen to this very show on Crowtown Radio. But if that's not enough for you, you can catch me once a week on Facepalm America with Beowulf Rocklin, where we make fun of the news in real time on a recorded podcast. You can follow This Week Again on social media wherever you can find us. And we are always available for your listening pleasure on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Audible, Amazon, or basically wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you so much for listening to this show. Ta-da for now.